Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Podcast Snap Reactions, tight end position, week number 7 here. So we're going to go right down all the positions, and we'll start here with Arizona. And I think the interesting part about this offense is going to be the return of DeAndre Hopkins and how that influences Zach Ertz. So Zach Ertz, 28 routes on 32 dropbacks this past week. He goes 2 for 21. And officially, according to PFF, it's 3 targets. ESPN has 4. So again, there's that difference there between kind of the charted target. It's the definition for a target's a little bit more restrictive at PFF. And I like that stat more because, you know, throw at somebody's feet, that sort of thing, isn't necessarily counted, which I tend to like as a better description of the target there. So, but anyways, so there's that. My target diatribe a minute in. I think the question is going to be sort of how this offense revolves. I think there's not enough in this offense to prevent Zach Ertz from being like good. Like he leads the league in routes run at the tight end position. He's just going to kind of aggregate. And do I think he's a great player at this stage of his career? I don't. But is he going to have a role? Right. What's our role? Basically, if you have been an elite tight end and you're still in the NFL, we bet on you. We bet on you long term as being a functional producer. And that's kind of where Zach Ertz is at this point. You tend to age gracefully at the tight end position, and that's what we kind of bet on. And frankly, that's the bet I think is the right bet to make here. So I'm not super concerned about it. You know, if you can get out for, you know, you're not getting a first, but if you can get, you know, if you can get, I don't even like just bailing for like a late second either. Like, I think he could be contender. Like, I would look to try and do an upgrade someplace else, maybe put him in a package to acquire someone that's hurt. Like, do those types of things with Zach Ertz. Like, try and go up instead of just kind of bailing for a second or something like that would sort of be my thought. And a premium format in particular there. So just a thought on a pivot there. All right, Atlanta. Kyle Pitts just limited. 3 for 9. You heard that right. Not great. He runs a total here of 15 routes on 19 dropbacks. So again, still a little of that question concerned about the route participation. It doesn't seem like a big deal because it's only 19 dropbacks, but man, this team refuses to throw the ball. So it says something about Marcus Mariota probably. And they want to just kind of pound on you. And as a result, Pitts has got 4 targets. This is just, it's just tough. They're graded for 11 total targets in this game. It's just a really, really, it's just not a great situation. I'm willing to buy low, right? I tend to think you play the long game with elite assets. It's kind of the way I think that we should play this game. So I'm willing to buy low on London, but it's not paying a top 20 price at a top 20 asset to acquire him. Mm-hmm. It's paying, you know, 2 top 50 assets, something like that, like 2 lesser assets in that acquisition price. So that would sort of be the angle that I would do it, right? Use him as sort of a piece that you package up to, as opposed to, you know, just, you know, moving down, right? I would hate to move from Andrews down, right? I would rather move from almost anything up. And I think he's a good example of that. And that's how I'd potentially pivot to him. But listen, if you have you might have a team that's a contending team that has Pitts, send offers and be willing to sort of, put players together. You know, I don't know if anyone's doing I'm just going to toss out some ideas. I haven't done this yet, so I haven't really thought too. It's Monday afternoon. I haven't thought super much about the types of deals that would be attractive to these teams, but you know, if you're thinking about, hey, can I move on from, you know, can I package some Fournette production, maybe Ertz, right? Like sort of do some of those types of deals, right? Sort of get at that and almost attempt to overpay sort of in the way of like a mid-career or an aging career type player. particularly if it's not a premium form, it's not a premium position in the format that you're playing in, right? I'm talking two PPR for tight end. Those are the types of deals where you're trying to be aggressive on adding tight ends. That would sort of be my angle on him. Still holding steady at tight end two ahead of Kelsey and Dynasty, according to Keep Drake Cut. So there's that. All right. Baltimore was one of the weirdest stat lines you'll ever see. Bateman, it came back and looked good, but it was actually Andrews that ran 19 routes, was targeted twice, had zero catches, one carry. I don't know how that happened, but zero catches on two targets. Bateman has more targets than him, and it's Duvernay that also has more targets than him. Likely a target, one catch, 16 yards. And so that's, by the way, he's tight end four in snaps in that offense. He's tight end five in routes, playing behind Josh Oliver. So for what that's worth, not a ton there. This is the blip. This stuff happens, but man, that's a weird, circumstance there for Andrew. Still feel confident going forward, but a weird situation altogether. Tommy Tremble, one reception, 29 yards and a touchdown. Still not going anywhere near him in Carolina. Just don't have a ton of faith there. By the way, as I was flipping on to record, PJ Walker announces their starter. Cincinnati, and you just have Hayden Hurst just aggregating. Top 12 tight end, seventh most catches. I don't think it's particularly good. I don't think it's particularly, this is another game of just slightly over a yard per route run, right? He runs 34 routes. He gets 48 yards. So and it's actually, yeah, so it's better than that. He had 48 yards on 45 dropbacks. He only participated in 34 of them on route basis. So 8 yards a catch. Again, that's, you might see 6 for 48 and think, well, it's pretty pedestrian. I see that as a 15-point safe leagues game, right? Like I see that as a flex play. Right, and that's kind of the way I think about this. You look, he's amongst the league leaders in routes at the tight end position, and he's just going to play a ton of routes. And this team, you know, we were talking about this during Sunday Night Football, just talking about, you know, what this offense is now. They're just running a ton of routes. And I think it's interesting from a – they're running the dropbacks a ton. I'll have a little bit more of that and the quarterback stuff tomorrow when I record, but 232 routes for Hurst, right? They're just dropping back to pass a ton. He's involved in a ton of them. So that's really the big takeaway here is like, and yeah, he's involved in a ton and 0.97 yards per route run. Like it's not good. It's just the ability is his availability. And that's kind of what your takeaway is. Like if you look amongst qualifiers right now, Hurst ranks, 45 qualifiers. Hurst is at 39 out of 45 in terms of yards per route run, 0.97. So, only guys below him, Irv Smith, Eric Sauber, Dawson Knox, actually, Brate, Logan Thomas, Noah Gray, and Cole Kmet. So, amongst qualifiers, he's totally aggregating. So if you can get, again, if you can sort of move up from him, totally want to do that. This is all volume-based. All of it is volume-based. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is volume-based, and you have to understand that when you're making that bet. All right, Cleveland, and you've got Njoku banged up on crutches. It's an ankle, high ankle. Looks like it's going to be a multi-week absence. He's walking with a boot. This screams to me, out until after their bye. That's what this one seems to be. So you're looking at, it'll be week 8. He'll probably be out 9, 10, right? Sort of in that range, 11. And then they have their bye in week 12, and Watson's back in week 13. So this kind of is what that feels like to me. If I'm thinking timeline wise, that's kind of what my thought process is. So, I think Harrison Bryant's an interesting name sort of behind him. And he's probably an ad, for sure. He's for sure an ad consideration. That's, I think the big thing here this week is, you're going to be without him It's not that serious, but it looks like it's going to be multi-week. So, for what that's worth, he's been doing really well. Has been really good this season, but not going to have him for about a month. So, going to have to figure that out. And again, this is why we build depth at this position, because there's a lot of there's a lot of. This is one where there can be, I think, with Harrison Bryant, there can be a pure one for one replacement type of profile there with Bryant, almost the way that you would think about a running back. So that's the Cleveland stuff there. Not super confident with Bryant. Yeah, he's probably on that tight end two spectrum going forward. But again, there's not a ton there, right? Like, this is a two wide receivers and a tight end centric passing game. So Bryant has the opportunity to step into that in a way that not a ton of situations exist. So I am a little bit optimistic on that. I would be pretty, I haven't looked in terms of his roster ship yet, but I think he's going to be one that that we're definitely interested in adding where he's available. All right, Dallas and Dalton Schultz, really good on 17 routes, 5 catches, 49 yards, 5 targets. That's excellent. The only problem, this is, I think, the problem, generally speaking, when you're making, a bet on when you're trying to make the Logan Thomas bet, which is like, hey, guy's not that great, but he's going to run a ton of routes, and he's going to have sort of a high participation in the offense. Schultz slides down to tight end 10 and keep trade cut. Like, he's just 1.11 yards per route run on the season. He's the worst graded PFF tight end on Dallas's roster. So again, I don't love where he's at in his arc this year. And I think one of the things that's almost always true is when people estimate offenses, we overestimate sort of the ancillary aspects of the offense, or we underestimate them, right? We do a bad job of estimating how much they'll be involved. So we don't anticipate guys like Noah Gray being involved. We don't anticipate other tight ends. We don't anticipate those opportunities. So when we're sort of putting together how does this offense look, we kind of overestimate it, right? And I think if we think anything more than like the top three getting like 55, maybe 60% of the offense, like that's not that common that happens. It's very rare. And so I think that's one of the things with a guy like Schultz, we have to sort of keep in mind that when we're sort of estimating these things, it can be not a great, I think people can overestimate it. And so that's one of the lessons that I think we should take from a guy like Schultz, is don't try and pick that Logan Thomas type profile. All right, Denver. Dulcich, it's Dulcich season here. He is he's doing really well, really, really well. Greg Dulcich, 34 routes, 9 targets. That's awesome. 6 catches, 51 yards. That's killing it. That's really, really terrific. So we like that quite a bit. So optimistic about Dulcich here going forward, and I think he's firmly like on the buy high type radar. He's tight end 14. I'm super interested in that, and he's a. I think you give a second for him in tight end premium right now, and you're positive about the arc where he's at right now. All right, T.J. Hockenson for Detroit here. He goes in this game 4 for 48. He runs 29 routes on 32 dropbacks, so good involvement there. 12.1 points per game. It's third behind Kelsey and Andrews amongst actual real tight ends. Taysom Hill's actually in between them, but I think he's got like 2 catches. So, in terms of real tight ends, Hockenson's basically at 2 or at 3, right? Then basically the next tier after Kelsey and Andrews. But it's such a big difference. Like, this is one of the things, like, you don't pay for non-elite tight ends. There's so many other ways to do it. And if Hockenson can't truly get up to being an elite tight end, like, I'm pretty skeptical of him being able to do it. He's at 1.71 yards per route run this year. Like, again, that's good. That's his best of his career. Like, it's up a couple of tenths of a yard per route run. But it just doesn't get all the way home. Like, that's the hall of very good. like at the tight end position, and the Hall of very good just kind of blends in, right? There's a big difference between very good and elite, and tight end is one of those situations where you sort of see that. So I'm interested in sort of pivoting down from Hockenson. If you have, you know, if someone's willing to give you Goddard plus, I don't know if that actually happens. You know, Freiermuth plus, I'm interested in, right? And I'll just pop up here the tight ends at keep trade cut, for example. And you just look, Hockenson is at, he's at tight end 4. Freiermuth is at tight end 7. I'd be sort of interested in that directional move. You know, there's a little bit of equity there. I'm not sure if that's like, I don't know, maybe that's, it's tough to say because this isn't tight end premium either. I'm just looking at the picks to see if I can get the picks here, but it's not looking like it's actually working. That's what the cost of like maybe a second, something like that. It's probably less than that cost. It might be that cost in a premium format. I don't know. I'd be interested in sort of exploring that. If I could get Freiermuth in a second for Hockenson, I'd do it. I think Freiermuth is pointing in a more elite direction than Freiermuth is, or than Hockenson is. So I'd be willing to sort of do something like that. Would sort of be a thought there. But yeah, tight end 4. Again, I don't think you pay for 4 instead of paying for, you know, 10 or 8 or whatever. Wherever that line is in any given year, the difference between Freiermuth and him is not that much. And I think I'd rather be on the Freiermuth side if that, especially if there's a plus there. So that'd be something I'd be thinking about at the tight end position. All right, next up we have Green Bay. And it's Robert Tonyan again. It's just 24 routes on 34 dropbacks, like 3 for 32. This is just that low participation. Like this is, there's uptick games like last week, but then there's a lot of bad games like this. Man, this offense feels lost. I just looked this up. 47 total plays. They had 4.9 yards per play, and they had which actually isn't that dissimilar from Washington. Like Washington had 5.1 yards per play, but they ran 72 of them. Like Green Bay just can't get out of their way. And Tonyan like really struggling to get that full participation. If he was fully participating, I'd feel much better. But just that 60% type of participation just isn't going to cut it to add up at the end of the year. So pretty limited there. Like I'm interested. I don't think he's going to draw you too much in the trade market. But he's at he's down at tight end 24. Like Hurst is behind him, and I think like Hurst has got a better. It's interesting because Hurst is actually older than Tonyan because he came in so much later, which is weird. That's just not going to do it, right? That's not going to do it from there. I'm interested in moving up. Like if he has an uptick game, I'm interested in moving up. I don't know where there's any real chance to move down to. Like if you can get something extra for like Evan Ingram, I'd be interested in that. Like Evan Ingram's a handful of spots after him in sort of tight end rankings, but I just struggle to really see it. You know, maybe you give like Hunter Henry's down a little bit further too. Maybe you give him a shot and say, all right, like at least I've seen some more elite stuff out of him or some higher level stuff out of him, even though the usage is kind of funky. I don't really see a big breakout here coming from Robert Tonyan. Indianapolis is just a total fiasco at the tight end position. I can't, like they're bringing in Sam Ellinger to start in front of Matt Ryan. That's going to get weird. Again, this is one of those situations where I wrote this up for Football Guys last week. We did a roundtable thing, and it was a question of, like, what trend are you basically watching kind of over the next 5 years that you think is going to influence Dynasty? And my response is, like, the middle of the quarterback position, like the bottom half of the quarterback position, like kind of the aging veteran or the, you know, not necessarily the journeyman, but, like, the non-elite veteran quarterback like entering another contract. What's that market look like? And it's been pretty bad. Like Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Goff has been up and down. Well, Mariota is maybe a success story, which is crazy. You know, Tannehill is probably the success story. Geno Smith, that doesn't really count in this because they didn't pay him. But like you start adding, you know, Jameis Winston. Yeah, you just start looking around and it's like, what? Like it's really tough to sort of Baker, Darnold, like. And those guys weren't pure second contracts, but they paid, you know, $18, $19 million a year. Like, that's a lot of money. Why would you do that instead of just kind of bottoming out and and trying for a new guy. And I think that that's maybe a lesson that we should learn. The problem is like, you don't have anyone in truly, you know, truly trying to protect the franchise type of mode, because ownership is so impatient as towards this, you know, this year's success. Whereas if you sort of took the long view, you know, bottoming it out for a year, you know, Carolina just said, hey, we're going to start PJ Walker. Like, okay, like we're going to start PJ Walker and he's not good, but we're going to start him. And it's, you know, it's less of a, you know, it's less of probably a headache than some of the other stuff they were dealing with, I'm assuming behind the scenes based on everything we sort of read. And you just bottom out. Say like, all right, like we're just going to give him a shot and see what happens. Right. And if you turn out, you know, it's an interim coach, so that's not great. But if you turn out, you know, 2-15, right, at least you're going to get a shot at one of these guys. Whereas instead of, you either have an elite one or you don't. And if you don't, like, you better be trying to find one, not trying to find your way into like a 7 seed. I just, you're just spinning your wheels towards nowhere. And Indianapolis is probably the best example of that. So the fact they're going to bottom out, again, this is a tight end show. We could probably talk quarterbacks. Different show. But Mo Ali Cox, Kylan Granson, Jelani Woods, 14, 18, 14 routes. Like, just an absolute train wreck in terms of trying to predict it. Good luck, Godspeed. Two targets between the three of them. Can't help you much. Can't help you much. All right, next up we have Evan Engram at Jacksonville. And 37 routes and 44 dropbacks. So that's okay. It's not great, but okay. 1.30 yards per route run, 212 routes. So ranking up there at the higher end of the position. He's up in the aggregator range of the position, right? He's doing well enough, getting enough volume where I think he's going to be interesting in sort of that, you know, can he push for a tight end one type of finish, right? Top 12 tight end finish. I think that's fully in his range of outcomes. So no real threat here. Manhurts or Dan Arnold, 10 routes between them on those 44 dropbacks. Manhurts ran basically 24 snaps and had 20 blocking snaps. So, you know, he's out there, but he's almost purely a blocker. 60 snaps for Engram on 71 plays. So that's not really affecting his participation either. So interested there again for a tight end, late tight end two price. I'm interested in Engram. All right. Next up here, we have Travis Kelce, 6 for 98, 8 targets. Again, like, just what else do we have to say? There's not a ton to say there. Not a ton to report back. Gerald Everett, only 32 routes on 57 dropbacks for him. But he goes 5 catches, 63 yards. So you feel pretty good about that. It's a good matchup for him in this game. Stats-wise, like I was looking at some of the matchup stuff in the preview show this week, and like, it was a good matchup for him. So that's good. He got it. Some of the receivers are running out there. It's pretty bad. Josh Palmer, DeAndre Carter ranking in the top 20 in terms of routes run in the league on the season. So those things aren't great. And like, Gerald Everett is probably their second best option, third best option, depending on how you want to sort of rank a running back in that between Williams, Everett, and Eckler when Allen is out. So lots of opportunity there. Parham out this week, so we don't get a true look at him. But he's out again. He's been banged up. He's really, really struggled to stay healthy. No Trey McKitty really role. He ran 14 routes in this game, 57 dropbacks. So again, that's not a significant role. Was not targeted. So no real threat there. Rams were off. Vegas, we've got Waller out. You know, Waller's one of those guys where, man, so I'm of two minds on Waller. The first one is, like, man, he's been banged up a lot. The second one is, all right, like, you kind of see what George Kittle does, where George Kittle was banged up a lot. He comes into basically the last 2 weeks, and he's tight end one. Right? Like, there's only and you sort of add that up. If you, like, do that over a month, you're super relevant at the tight end position. Like, it's just pretty flat outside of, you know, a handful of guys that truly matter. And like, Waller's kind of one of those guys for me that I think it's a tight end position. You just, like, you don't want to pay top dollar for a guy that's only going to play 10 games that really matter. But if you're going to get 10 games that really matter, I'd rather get that than 16 games that don't matter, right? And So I'm willing to be patient with Waller. Again, even if I get eight games that matter from him, like get him healthy, get him sort of back here. I don't think he's going anywhere, right? He's still under contract for them. They signed him. It just isn't really working out yet to start the season. So hopefully he'll get right. And, you know, the second half of the season can help us. But he's another one of those guys where I think, like, if you've gotten sort of this far and you're sort of in playoff contention, almost all my teams I look at and they're in playoff contention, I'm like, all right, I feel okay. Like, my quarterbacks have sucked. Like, I don't have Watson. You know, I'm just like, I'm looking around and see the things I sort of say to myself. Like, all right, Waller's done me nothing. All right, Kittle's finally coming back and doing something to help me. Hopkins has been suspended. Like, if I am sort of in this, if I'm in it, I think generally my thought process because of guys like Waller has been, I feel pretty good. And so he's another one of those examples where I think if I've got him, I'm okay with sort of, and if someone's panicking, like I can be in on that, you know, and sort of a deep buy low, you know, could I give Ertz for Waller? Like I might be interested in doing that because I think over the longer term, Waller's got a bigger influence, for example. And that, I don't know how big the secondary pieces in that deal are, but I'd much rather take the Waller bet right now because I think going forward, he does have a higher chance to make a big difference than a lot of guys at the tight end position. So that's the bet that I'm making. And, you know, he's only played 16 games once in his career. And you hope to just rely on him at this point, kind of for like 8 to 10 games sort of down the stretch where he can make a difference, you know? So that's sort of my thought there. Gesicki tight end 15 on the season with 18 catches, 197 yards and 3 touchdowns. See why I'm like super seduced by a guy like Waller who can do that in 2 games. You know what I mean? Like you look at that's basically that's Kittle in the last 2 weeks essentially with 2 less touchdowns, right? Like Kittle has essentially matched Gesicki in the past 2 weeks with the exception of the fact that he only has 1 touchdown in those 2 weeks. That's why we should bet on elite tight ends because the other guys just kind of blend in. Gesicki's on the trade market. That's great. I don't have a great bet after him. Maybe Durham Smythe. He ran 6 routes on 38 dropbacks today. Hunter Long, 1 route. You know, there's not much to see here other than the fact that maybe they're trying to get their tight end. I think they may be showcasing him. There's a lot of talk about a potential trade for him. I'm not necessarily sure he would be a buyer, but there's a lot of talk about a potential trade for him, and we'll be sort of watching that here down the stretch. All right, Minnesota off. New England is on Monday Night Football. New Orleans. I was looking at this stuff for just overall at the position here, and then Juwan Johnson popped off to me here, 10th at the tight end position with 193 routes run. He scores 2 touchdowns in this game. It's not particularly effective. It's 1.05 yards per route run. But again, if you sort of just need a guy out there, he's not a bad one to have because he's going to be out there a lot. And is it highly efficient? No, but it's available. And I think that that's kind of the way you look at a tight end like this. And you just kind of play some of the volume stuff and hope for it. I know some people started him and did well this week. The Giants, Daniel Bellinger, I saw it like from afar. I saw he was like sort of down and then I didn't watch it anymore because I heard it was an eye injury and that stuff makes me queasy. 26 snaps, 12 routes, a target. He had that catch, that eye injury. I read from Dr. Chow, doesn't expect it to be a long-term issue, maybe a game or something like that. Doesn't really look like to be a long-term issue. One catch, 13 yards, and 1 target, only 12 routes. It's the 5th best PFF grade amongst tight ends, 1.35 yards per route run. Trending towards very encouraged. He's tight end 15 and keep trade cut. And I'm officially interested. I'm officially interested when you can sort of be pretty good through half of the season coming from day 3 pedigree at tight end. I'm officially interested where he's going. So, again, smaller parts of deals. I doubt he's available in waivers or anything like that. But smaller parts of deals, I'm interested in him. He is trending metrically towards a way that you'd be like, okay, like I can see sort of this being a starter going forward. So I'm interested in him, again, if he's going to be out multiple weeks, something like that, interested in him on the back end of deals. Even if you're a contender and just looking for some routes and that sort of thing, it's a tight end position. That's not a bad way to sort of go about it with him when he is back. So I'm interested sort of in the long term, and I think he can sort of plug a hole. If you're trying to make that long-term bet, he can kind of plug a hole because he's participating in it's a tight end one in the Giants' offense, even though it's not necessarily the highest of volume. All right, tight end position here for the Jets. It's becoming a little bit more of a split. Conklin and Uzoma. Conklin goes 4 for 22. I'm interested in you can get out of Conklin. Like, I'm interested in that. Can you get a third, something like that? Because this is trending back towards Uzoma in terms of his usage. Conklin doesn't have the monopoly on the usage that he did before. Zach Wilson's terrible so far, is I think really the lesson to take from this. And we have a lot of questions going forward. So I'm interested in sort of getting, if you can get a third, if you can get something like that for Conklin, I'm interested in doing that. I know that was possible earlier. I'm not as sure as it is now. But I'm interested in doing that pivot. Pittsburgh, I just wrote next to this. By the way, Philly was off, so I don't have them on here. Pittsburgh, I just have next to this is Pat Freiermuth, the new elite tight end, 1.88 yards per route run. He's been targeted on 17% of his routes. That's slightly low, but really good production. Leads them in receiving yards with 75, 8 receptions in this game. So his participation slightly low as well, 37 routes. 49 dropbacks. So you'd like to have that a little bit higher, but amongst the qualifiers at the tight end position, it's a pretty low bar. I think it's like a dozen targets to qualify. Akins, Jonnu Smith are ahead of him, and then in terms of the true full-time guys, the only real true full-time guys ahead of him, Kelsey, Joku, Andrews, Goddard. So that's the tier of tight ends you want to be with in terms of elite guys. So super interested in Freiermuth going forward. Again, can you pivot down, right? Is he a pivot down? Like Hockenson to Freiermuth plus is the type of thing that I think is a highly effective dynasty trade. All right, tight end. And it's Noah Fant in Seattle. Noah Fant, it's Disley. Disley 4 for 45 on 4 targets. Fant 1 for 7 on 3 targets. So not a ton really there to see. Same story, different week is really the thing there. Fant really falling down into like the tight end, late tight end 2, tight end 3 range. I'm interested in that as sort of a buy low in some deeper leagues, but I don't have super high hopes. The fact that he was expendable in Denver, the fact that when he gets to Seattle, he's still splitting with Disley. I know that they sort of do some funky things. That doesn't give me a ton of confidence sort of long-term. I think he's a good player, but there might be stuff that we aren't seeing that gives us some reason to question that. San Francisco, again, George Kittle, tight end 1 over the past 2 weeks. We love to see it. 6 for 98 and a touchdown on National Tight Ends Day. 2.18 yards per route run. Our king has returned. I had a LFG next to his stat line for this week. Super excited about him going forward. Top 5 tight end in Dynasty is back and the ass kicking business. We'd love to see it. All right, Tampa and Cade Otton. Big work share in place of Brait. He's the second receiver for them. 4 catches, 64 yards behind Evans, who had 15 targets. Godwin, who had 13. Nope. Cade Otton. They're ahead of Godwin with 64 receiving yards. So good stuff there. And I'm interested sort of long-term to see if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to kind of take over that Brait role. Brait's been banged up a little bit. Hopefully we'll get him back. But about, you know, he's participating in about 70% of routes. So 36 out of 51. So that's what, 71% of routes there. So that's not elite, but I think that's officially interesting. Again, with early tight ends, you want to see opportunity and you want to see how they do on the opportunity. And with him, like, that's almost 2 yards per route run. Like, that's really good. So we're off to a really good start with him. Find him super interesting. And it's a bigger profile. It's a bigger performance than I expected from him coming out. I think it's a bigger performance than a lot of people thought coming out. So again, excited, optimistic about that. He's a clear riser at the position, clear add if he's available in any formats. All right, Tennessee, not a ton to see here. Swain missed on his lone target in the end zone. Hooper, 16 routes, best day of the season, maybe 3 for 56. It's tough to trust anyone. I don't really love it. It's really the big takeaway there. I have a hard time getting anyone in a lineup from this offense outside of Derrick Henry, or Tannehill, I guess. And then Washington, again, there's another one without Logan Thomas. It's really rough. John Bates only ran 4 routes in this game. Armani Rogers ran 17. He goes 3 for 28. That's interesting. Cole Turner, 14 routes. He's blanked on 2 targets. So, again, I don't – like, this is a team that's running out Cam Sims for 28 routes. There's not a ton here to love outside, like, McLaurin Samuel and Dotson when he's there. And, again, we like Robinson and you know, I guess Gibson is kind of the injury away guy. But it's not a ton here at tight end if Logan Thomas isn't out there monopolizing targets. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition. Again, like 37 minutes at the tight end position. So I hope you enjoyed it. I love going deep on these. So some depth here at tight end. And I was joking, you know, got 37 minutes of tight end coverage that no one asked for. So, so I hope you all enjoyed that. It's a good position in a premium format. And if we can understand it really well, and I think it's a really good edge that we have in premium formats. So excited about this and keep going forward. So I'll have running backs, wide receivers as well, and I'll have quarterbacks tomorrow, waiver show, and all that goodness, all that jazz. So until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.